Well, amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. So grateful for a Savior we can sing about tonight. Amen. And we're so grateful for what the Lord Jesus has done for us. You know, I feel like I need to introduce myself to you. It's been several weeks since I've been in here. But for the last several weeks, Denise and I have been leading a grief share class just up the hallway there, and it's been great being able to connect with people who are struggling with grief. And grief is a difficult journey. It really is, and many of you already know that from personal experience. But I want to thank you for affording us this opportunity to be a blessing to people in our community that are hurting. And this series is really meeting a need for these people, and I'm just so grateful that you have afforded us this opportunity to be part of that. You know, I'm right at home up here on the platform, especially with a turkey behind me. So me and the turkey are getting along real well. So anyway, we're glad that you're here. It's going to be a great time of worship tonight as we examine God's Word. You know, some of you may remember, I have shared with you that I was adopted when I was just an infant. And my biological parents, I never really knew. I did get to know my birth mother just a few years before she passed away, and we, you know, enjoyed a good relationship together. But when I was put up for adoption, I was placed in an orphanage, and I was given the name Baby Charlie. Baby Charlie. And so that was the only name I had. And so, fortunately, I had adopted parents from Cairo, Georgia, who took me into their home, and my father said that there was no way he was going to have a Charlie Brown in his family. And so I'm thankful for that. And aren't you glad to not have a Charlie Brown on staff here? So, no, and all kidding. I do know a Charlie Brown who served a church down in South Georgia for many years. He's a dear friend of mine, great, great brother in Christ. And he and I have had good laughs together about our names, but wonderful fella. But you know, names are important, aren't they? Names are a way of identifying ourselves. And when we meet people, usually the first thing we're asked is what? What is your name? And so for me, many of us may have, you know, multiple names that we respond to. For me, typically people call me Richard. Sometimes I'm called Brother Richard, and I'm fine with that. I remember as a kid, if I ever heard my mother say Richard Timothy Brown, I knew the judgment was about to fall. Can y'all relate to that? But you know, I remember the first time I was called Mr. Brown. I thought they were talking about my dad. But you know, it's funny how your name changes through the years. And two of my favorite names for myself are Dad and G. I've been a dad for 30 years now, and I've been a G for 2 years. My little grandson, Carter, cannot say grandfather or grandpa or grand, so he just calls me G, and I'm happy with that. And Denise is called Honey, and she really likes that one. And so we enjoy our names together, G and Honey. But you know, names do matter to us. And the name that you have is forever recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? You know, here on earth, our names have a shelf life. But in heaven, your name is forever printed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm so thankful for that. But you know, there is only one name that is above all names, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. And we're here this evening to exalt His great name, to give Him glory and praise. And listen, friends, I am so glad you make Wednesday nights a priority. Thank you for being here. And it's a joy to gather and to exalt the name of Jesus together. You know, Ted and I have been asked to rotate Wednesday nights for the next several weeks. And I was telling Tom earlier, it's hard for me to come up with an isolated sermon occasionally on Wednesday nights. And so I really have to scratch and think about, you know, what I'm going to speak on. I try to find something that's related to, you know, what's going on the calendar or whatever, or a holiday or whatever. And so as I was planning for the next few weeks, I started to think about doing a series. And so what I'm planning to do for the next few weeks is to share with you about the names of God. The names of God. And tonight really is more of an introduction to that topic. You know, we could spend years addressing each of the names of God found in the Bible because all of them are important. They all are. And they all have rich meaning for us as they reveal something about His character or His divine attributes. And because I have limited time, I'm just going to be addressing two or three names with you. And so I hope, if anything, that this little short series will whet your appetite for studying the names of God. So why do we study the names of God? And what difference does this really, really make in my walk with God? Well, I'm glad you asked. By way of introduction tonight, I want to share with you at least three reasons why studying the names of God is so important. And the first really is this: we're commanded to honor His name. Amen? We are commanded to honor His name. In Exodus 20, verse 7, God said, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Now, isn't it interesting that God only gave us 10 commandments, and only one of them is focused on His name? You know, this commandment means a whole lot more than just avoiding using God's name in a slang or profane way. It means that those who are in relationship with God must honor His name with their lives. Now listen, the name of God has to do with His character. His character. It has everything to do with who He is. Now, I'm troubled many times when I read articles or social media posts professing Christians, of all things, that recklessly trivialize God's name and His attributes. You know, they use a small g for God, or they use a small h for Him. You know, when I wrote a book a few years ago, my publisher contacted me and said, "Hey, we just wanted you to know that, you know, in modern culture, we don't always capitalize the letters to deity." And I said, "Well, ma'am, I need you to understand something. I don't serve a little g God or a little h Him. I may go broke, but I will never go woke. And so I want you to print it exactly the way I sent it to you. Amen?" And so they did. She didn't like it, but she can get over it. But we're here tonight to exalt the name above all names. Not some little g God, but the God of heaven. The God who is the sovereign ruler of the universe. And He is infinitely holy. His name is to be sacred to us. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us kingdom insight into the majesty of God. In the model prayer found in Matthew 6, Jesus sought to teach His disciples how to pray. And so He opens the prayer with the majesty of God. Listen to verse 9. He says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name." Now the word hallowed may not be a word we use every day. It may not be a popular word in today's culture, but it is a necessary action for all Christians. We are to hallow the name of God. Well, what does hallow mean? It means to make holy. It means to sanctify or to consecrate. And so we should actively make our God a sacred part of our lives and honor His name. We should only speak His name with the utmost reverence and fear because of His brilliant majesty and holiness. So do you realize that if you are in Christ tonight, you now bear the name of God? You ever thought about that? You bear the name of God. You know, when we enter into a relationship with God, we take on His name. And so everything we say or do is a reflection on Him. You know, I can remember my dad telling me in the early days after I got my driver's license, thinking I was going to have some freedom to go do whatever I wanted to do. My dad looked at me and he said, "Now, son, you've got yourself a little bit of freedom, but here's the deal. Don't you ever go anywhere or do anything that reflects negatively on our name." I think that's good advice, don't you? And I took that advice to heart. In fact, I've shared that with my very own children, and they know that they are to be respectful of our family name. And so as Christians, we carry the name of our God with us wherever we go. And people do observe our lives. They observe the way we behave, the way we speak, and what we do reflects upon God. And so we should not participate in anything that would defame the glory and honor of His name. And so our behavior reflects upon Him. So therefore, we should study His name because we're commanded to honor His name. But secondly, we should study the names of God because of the praise factor. The praise factor. You know, another reason to study the names of God is simply because of the inherent greatness of His name. Psalm 8 verse 1 says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth." I love that verse, don't you? I love that word majestic. Majestic. You know, when we think of majesty, it describes a quality that takes your breath away. Can I ask you something this evening? As you think about the majesty of God, as you think about His glory and His honor, His brilliant majesty, does it take your breath away? My friend, it really should. When we call upon the Lord and we reflect upon His majesty, it should take our breath away. You know, this week, this past Tuesday morning, I was leaving New Harley very early in the morning to attend a meeting at the Baptist Association and here in Rome. And the sun was just coming up. And as I looked at the sun just coming up, that brilliant orange glow coming up across the horizon, it took my breath away. Because it caused me to reflect upon the majesty of God. And immediately this verse came to my mind, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And I'm here to tell you, all the way to Rome, I was shouting the glory and praise of God. Our God is an awesome God. And He is worthy of our praise. Listen, He is filled with majesty. In Psalm 48 verse 10, it says, As is your name, God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. So listen, the writer is saying here that His name is to be praised to the ends of the earth. In fact, all of creation praises God. I love driving to work each and every day. And as I drive, I see all the dogwoods in full bloom. And I think to myself, Lord, even the trees are ascribing worship and praise to the God who created them. All the created order worships God. And I think to myself, I too am a created being. And my purpose in this life is to glorify God, to honor Him, to worship Him, to praise Him and serve Him. And so may my life reflect upon Him in a way that brings Him glory and honor. As we look upon those dogwoods and all the plants that are in full bloom that scream of the glory of God, may my life be the same. May I bring glory and praise to Him. The psalmist Asaph frequently begins his praise of God with a reference to His name. Now, let me share a few examples with you. In Psalm 75, verse 1, it says, "We give thanks to You, O God. We give thanks to You, for Your name is near. People tell of Your wondrous works." In Psalm 76, verse 1, Asaph writes, "God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel." So frequently throughout the Psalms, particularly with Asaph, there is reference to the name of God. And so friends, it's important that we acknowledge the reverence of God and we dwell upon it, we chew upon it and reflect upon what it means to us and how great our God truly is. Understanding the name of God will help us to understand how to praise and worship Him more effectively. You know, God reveals Himself to us through many different names throughout the Bible. And no single name can describe all that God is. In fact, God uses each and every one of His names to reveal a different part of His character to us. So shown in Scripture, each of these names has tremendous significance for us. And that's why it's so important that we study those names and learn more about the God we worship. And so for this reason alone, believers should hunger to understand the significance of the names of God. And I hope that's going to be true of you, that you hunger for more of God as you study His names and He reveals His character and His attributes to you and how these same characteristics can be unleashed in your life. I hope it creates a thirst in your soul for more. His name is great and is worthy to be praised. But there's a third thing this evening, a third reason why we should study the names of God, and that is because of the protection of the name. The protection of the name. In Proverbs 18, verse 10, the writer says, "The name of the Lord is what? A strong tower." I love that, don't you? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And He says, "The righteous run to it and are safe." Have you discovered the name of the Lord as a strong tower in your life? Have you run to the tower of the Lord to find shelter in the time of storm? I'm so thankful that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Not weak, but strong. So this text tells us that God's name is like a fort that provides protection for the believer. For example, when we are under the spiritual attack of the enemy, God wants us to remember that He is Jehovah Nissi. He is the banner of protection to give us spiritual victory. You know, if we're battling illness, we should run to Him as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. When we find ourselves with needs of the physical and emotional nature, we can run to Him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. I'm here to tell you this evening that the name of the Lord is a strong tower The righteous run to it, and they are safe. There's no need to fear, no need to doubt, no need to live a broken, dreadful life anymore, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of the nature and character of God revealed in His names, we will find ourselves running to His name to find healing and strength. I can tell you, when our son died back in 2019, our family found refuge in this strong tower we're talking about tonight. The name of the Lord, who is our comforter, our helper, our strength. He is that strong tower. Listen, as we grow in this knowledge and understanding of the character of God, we will find ourselves running to Him. His name is a strong tower, and nothing can vanquish the name of God. Oh, friends, there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in His name, the saving, healing, protecting, justifying, redeeming power of God resides in the person of Christ, and Jesus is His name. Any power attributed to the name of Jesus originates in the person of Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus' name, we are trusting in the finished work of the risen Christ on the cross. And friends, I want you to understand that Jesus is not just a magic word. The name of Jesus is not just a good luck charm. There's nothing special about the arrangement of the letters in His name. Had Jesus not been God in the flesh, who lived a perfect life, died for the sins of all who would believe and rose again, we wouldn't even be talking about His name tonight. But Jesus is all of that. He is the sinless Son of God who laid aside the majesty of heaven to come into this trash can of a world to take your sins and my sins upon Himself and die a horrible death, shedding His blood, yet rising again from the dead, forever shattering the teeth of death and offering you and me eternal life. Oh, what a great Savior we worship tonight. Jesus is alive, and I'm here to tell you that there is power in His name. There is protection to be found in the name of Jesus. His name is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you weathering a storm in your life? Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's vocational. Maybe it's a family issue. It could be any number of things. I've got great news for you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and you can run to Him, and you will be safe. Because the Lord will take care of you. Amen? The protection of the name. But lastly, this evening, I want you to see three foundational principles as we study the names of God. Three foundational principles as we study the names of God. The names of God are revealed by God alone. The names of God are revealed by God alone. So what this means is that no human being ascribed these names to God. God revealed those names to us. So the names for God throughout the Bible are names that God in His wisdom has chosen to reveal to us. And friends, listen, that is critical for us to understand. Because God in His wisdom has chosen to reveal those truths to us. So you may remember in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses was instructed by God to go stand before Pharaoh and call for the release of God's people from Egyptian bondage. Remember Moses' question? He asked, "Well, Lord, whom shall I say has sent me to you?" What did God tell Moses? Moses was to say, "You go," and or God told Moses, "You go and tell him that I am has sent you. I am. I am has sent you." In other instances, God simply announced His name. When Abraham was preparing to offer his only son Isaac, God revealed Himself as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. God in His infinite mercy has revealed Himself on the stage of human history so that we might come to know Him in a personal relationship and love Him more intensely. So as God reveals Himself through the Scripture, He discloses His character and nature through the expression of His names. So the names of God are revealed by God alone. But secondly, I want you to see that His desires for us to know Him. Or He desires for us to know Him. You know, what kind of a relationship would we have with anyone if we didn't know their name? It would be a pretty shallow relationship at best. But God has revealed His name to us so that we might know Him personally. And He wants you to know Him. As we study His names together, He discloses the truth of who He is, enabling us to grow in an intimate relationship with Him. And friends, that is the desire of God's heart, that we grow in our intimacy with Him. But lastly tonight, the character of God is displayed. The character of God is displayed. You know, each one of God's names reveals another aspect of His multifaceted character. In Psalm 23, David says in verse 3, "He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Now watch this. That phrase does not mean that God is acting to save His reputation. No, what it means here is that God is acting in conformity with His own nature. That is, God leads in paths of righteousness because He is by nature a righteous God. And because He is righteous, He will lead you and I into paths of righteousness as we follow Him. So what a contrast between the God of truth and revelation and the gods of mythology who are often depicted as being deceitful. No, the God we worship is a God who is truth. He doesn't just contain truth, no. He is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And because that is true, you and I can put our full trust in Him because of who He is. So tonight, listen. As you study the names of God, and I encourage you to do so on your own, you're going to learn something more about the lovely character of God. And friends, you will discover that He is your provider, your sustainer, your healer, your shepherd, and so much more. And you'll find yourself intimately drawn to Him and passionately committed to Him. And you will surrender to His lordship in sheer joy as you embrace His character and trust Him to act in your life according to His character. So I invite you to join me in this brief journey of exploring the names of God. And long after our little series is over, I certainly hope that you will continue in this journey of seeking and searching out the names of God and applying those truths to your own life. And I want you to know, above all, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are safe. Oh, friends, there is safety in the Lord. Run to Him from wherever you are, and you will find His help. So in 2 weeks, we will be looking at the very first name of God found in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So I'm looking forward to being with you in a couple weeks as we explore the wonderful name of Elohim. And I hope you'll come hungry for God's truth. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for our time together this evening. Lord, how great you are. How awesome. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are our strong tower. And we can run to you and have great confidence that we are safe because we are in your grip. Lord, I pray that this little message this evening will be a source of encouragement to everyone who's here. Maybe that one who's going through a storm. Maybe they're very distraught or discouraged by the cares of this life. Oh, may they run to you, Lord, and find your shelter to be sufficient. Thank you, Lord, for choosing to reveal who you are to us through the pages of Scripture. Help us to be good stewards of our days here on earth by exploring your word and getting to know you better. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Now I pray that you'll dismiss us with your favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night.